Welcome to the Morning Lineup Podcast. I'm Richard Justice, and I'm joined by Allison Footer. Later, our buddy Jim Duquette will join us. We're going to talk about trades, how trades are made, some trade possibilities. There was some news today, Allison, but maybe the funniest thing that happened is that Yu Darvish was on Twitter. What did you see there?
So basically somebody from a website called Barstool Sports, tweeted out that it was a done deal. Yu Darvish is signing with the Cubs. And then Yu Darvish quote tweeted that and said and called it fake news. And then so basically he was shooting down that rumor. And then a little bit later, he tweeted out a picture of him and John Daniels, the general manager of the Texas Rangers, and said, "I went to dinner with my friend John last night." Our friend Jeff Wilson, who covers the Rangers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, had tweeted out earlier that there at some point this week, Darv and Don Daniels were going to go out to dinner. It was just going to be just friends, no agents, no business talk, no nothing, no negotiations, just two friends going out to dinner. And then Yu Darvish quote tweeted that and said, "It's tomorrow night." So he's a funny guy. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't really like Yu Darvish, but he is definitely, I mean, that's the beauty of social media. That's the beauty of Twitter, is you really don't have to go through anybody to get it out, you know, what you want to say. And what he wanted to say was Barstool Sports had it wrong and that he hadn't signed with the Cubs. Doesn't mean he's not going to sign with the Cubs, but he has not signed with the Cubs.
Somebody tweeted to Evan Grant, "I can't imagine John Daniels ever looking more uncomfortable." And Evan said, "Well, you haven't seen him when he's in a room with me."
Oh, funny. So, you know, I mean, really and truly, though, I mean, Yu Darvish is the guy that everybody's kind of watching and waiting to see who's going to sign him. It's an interesting thing to follow, because basically he's been one of the premier pitchers in baseball for several years, yet he had a Jekyll and Hyde kind of 2017 where he had a very good regular season. But what's most sitting in our minds as the most recent thing that we experienced, Mr. Darvish, was that he was one of the reasons why the Dodgers lost the World Series. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I would bet that he gets more money than any other free agent. I think, you know, just talking to guys that just – They just think the guy's stuff is too good and that he's healthy and all of that. A couple of pieces of news today. It has been reported that the Gerrit Cole to the Yankees trade talks are very slow, stalled, whatever word you want to use, and that the Yankees themselves do have some interest in Yu Darvish. And I guess, you know, he has met with the Cubs. He's met with the Astros. And, you know, Allison, he had this he's going to meet with John Daniels. In the Dallas media has Dallas Fort Worth media has made it clear how this is just social. You lives in the Dallas Fort Worth area. It's not, well, what if you just leans across the table and says 5 years, $125 million? I mean, I don't understand how it couldn't come up that at some point John Daniels would go, you know, our rotation looked a lot better with you than without you. I mean, I can't. It's not the furthest. I understand you want to tamp down expectations. But these two guys know each other pretty well, and I think Yu likes living in Texas.
Well, I think that the thing that to glean from all of that, if we want to pick it apart and make it, you know, into something it's not, maybe, but is the fact that when Yu Darvish was traded, like when the Rangers traded him to the Dodgers, they were very hesitant to do it because they felt like. And this is kind of a cultural thing also. It's that you would take it as a personal affront that they wanted to rid themselves of him and that he wouldn't be so willing or amenable to possibly re-signing back. Because the Rangers made it very clear, if we deal him, it is to get something back for him that can strengthen our organization. And then we'd possibly like to re-sign him. But then there were other people that said, he's probably not going to be wanting to do that so much. The fact that he and John Daniels, even if it's just a social call, even if it's just you know, two friends, which sounds a little weird. I'm sorry. I mean, in all of our years of covering baseball, Richard, I mean, how often did you hear of a general manager and a player really having such a tight bond that they would be, you know, just having a random dinner together, especially when the player is hanging out there in free agency? I don't know. I feel like there might be something more to that, but I think it's very encouraging that they do have a good relationship and that there does seem to be affection between the two of them, that could help the Rangers down the road.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever heard of it happening. And, you know, like you said, you can't avoid the fact that A, Texas needs pitching, and B, Hugh happens to be a pitcher who is free to go where he wants. But and the other news of the day, with the Brewers announced this, formally announced the signings of Julius Chachin. Am I saying that right? Chachin? Julius Chachin and Giovanni Gallardo, who came up with the Brewer.
Richard. Julius Chachin.
Julius Chachin. We didn't have a guy named Julius Chachin in Waxahachie. So I can't. It's going to take me some work on that. And the other guy they announced they signed was Giovanni Gallardo, who happens to be one of my favorite players in all of baseball. A guy that came up with the Brewers. I think it's a cool thing that he's going back home. Still think Milwaukee probably is looking for one more pitcher, but who knows? And our friend Jim Duquette has made it clear. It looks like, you know, the Orioles are unlikely to trade Manny Machado, even in the wake of Zach Britton's injury. And if that's true, and we have no reason to doubt that's true, that would probably mean Brad Brock would not be traded. So Dan Duquette goes out and tries to get two or three or four or five starting pitchers and makes one more run with this group of players. So that's the news of the day. Now we welcome in Jim Duquette, a man who actually, unlike us, has actually made trades and phoned general managers and gotten phones back and had trades that fallen through and trades that went through. The art of the deal. Can Jim, just an overview of how you approach deals. What is the negotiating part of it to getting to the end game?
Yeah, you know, that's to me is the most important and fascinating part of it, because everyone kind of differs in how their style or approach is. But what I tried to do was I tried to find a comparable player that was recently traded and go find the recent comps of what was traded for them, for that player, and then use that as a, you know, starting point. And then tried to find which teams kind of match up with that type of pitcher. So, as an example, when I was with the Orioles, we tried to trade Eric Bedard, and Andy McPhail was a bit, you know, was leading it. But I was a part of that too. And we were trying to find who fit. Where does Eric Bedard fit the most best? Who might be the team that's most desperate? And what would be a haul? That what type of haul would you want to get back in return? We had targeted three. Ended up three players or so. Andy ended up getting four, and they were two really impactful guys, Chris Tillman and Adam Jones, you know, that are still with the Orioles.
Good gracious.
Pretty good take. Yeah, that's one of the better trades. That's more of a, you know, high-end trade, obviously, that stands out. But that's kind of the inner workings. You're trying to find where's the best fit, and is there a team that's maybe willing to overpay?
Yeah. You know, when I covered the Orioles were desperate to get Ricky Henderson. And they asked, the A's asked for Storm Davis and John Habian. And the Orioles' response was, you have got to be kidding us. Those are our top two prospects. I wouldn't be surprised if those two guys won 500 games between them. And it's a reminder that, you know, sometimes prospects are just prospects. Maybe Dave Dombrowski is right about that.
Yeah, well, right, prospects. And Theo Epstein said it a couple years ago when he traded for Chapman. He goes, I love prospects, but I like championships better. So he gave up his top prospect for Aroldis Chapman, and it ended up working out perfectly for them.
One of the stories going around about Jerry Krause when he ran the Chicago Bulls was that he would call – well, I've actually had general managers tell me that. He would call a general manager. I want to ask you, did you ever – have somebody do this to you? He would call the general manager and say, now, as I look at your team, here's what I think. And, you know, generally the conversation went downhill from there. Yes. Did you ever do anything? Did you ever critique another guy's team?
I never did it, but I've had general managers do that. And the one who's my radio partner on MLB Network Radio, Jim Bowden, he used to do that all the time. The meeting usually went downhill after about 30 seconds. You didn't want to hear it. So, yeah, it usually backfires. And by the way, I hired Jerry Krause, and I remember him telling me that. He was a pro scout for me with the Mets. And I'm like, Jerry, no offense. You were amazing GM, but I can't – that's not my style.
All right, Jim, we're going to – Allison and I are going to throw a couple of things at you. I'm going to be Neil Huntington, and you're Brian Cashman, and you're going to call me, and you're going to ask for my ace pitcher. How are you going to approach that?
Well, Richard, I really I'm curious your position on Gerrit Cole. Are you guys looking to move him? I know, you know, he's a, you know, for you guys, he's a number one starter. For us, we really look at him as more of a number three type starter. His strikeouts for nine have gone backwards. I know he's a contact guy, but you know, he only has 2 years left. I mean, that's how we value him as a number three, Richard. So what do you think?
Oh, okay. So, okay, I'm Neil Huntington. I'm going to say, well, you know, 2 more years, Gerrit Cole. We think he might be a little more than a number three in your rotation. We'll take – I'm going to make it easy for – we'll just get this done right now. I'll take Gleyber Torres and Justice Sheffield, and we'll go – we'll call it a day. We'll go out and have a beer when I see you next. What do you think?
So then I would say, well, Neil, listen, I've got other guys that I can sign that out there in the free agent market right now. Like, I love Jake Arrieta. I like Arrieta better than Cole. I like Darvish better than Cole. I like Chris Archer better than Cole. I don't have to give up any prospects for Arrieta and Darvish. So I'm trying to balance what the right price is for your guy versus what I have to pay out there in the market. I'd be willing to do – I'm not just not moving Torres, but I'd be willing to move Justice Sheffield and maybe somebody else.
Well, how about Justice Sheffield and your young third baseman, Miguel Andujar? Would you do that?
Well, you know, Andujar is a guy that we really, really like, Richard. I would say – if you want
you don't, just to quote from Moneyball, you don't even know Miguel Andujar.
If you want Andujar, I wouldn't be able to add Justice Sheffield in there. Is there another pitcher in my system to go with Andujar?
Yeah, how about Chance Adams and Miguel Andujar?
So Chance Adams, obviously, we really like, but I think we're getting a lot closer to this type of deal. How about if you know, we could use a third baseman. How about if we take David Freese in the deal as well? We free up your money. You can free up some salary. David's not going to play that much for you. We could use him in a platoon situation. We could do those two prospects for your two guys.
I'm going to have to talk to my top assistant. Footer, step in there.
The back and forth is what the most fun is about this type of conversation, because that's how – you know, a lot of times you wouldn't do it in one call. You might just say, listen, I don't know if I would do that. Let me think about it, and I'll get back to you with a different proposal. Like, you might text it, which is the way the modern day guys do it, which I still don't like all that much, because it takes out the relationship.
I have a question here. That was one of my questions. Is it just over texting now, which is why I thought, you know, why does anybody even go to the winter meetings anymore? Do they really even have face-to-face conversations? The other thing I wanted to say was, before we started this, I said my one goal of this podcast is to not have Jim Duquette laugh at me with any of my proposals. And the first thing I did was laugh at you, Richard, so I apologize.
Hey, but Jim and I, the three of us know a certain former general manager who was sort of famous – that we all know him. He was sort of famous for proposing a deal and then rejecting the deal he proposed and acting offended about it. So, you know, like if I propose something and you accept it, I may think you're trying to fleece me here. I may have to go back to my top assistant here and try to work this deal over. Because I love Chris Archer too.
A Chris Archer deal for the Yankees, as an example, they've been kicking the tire there. They're going to have to overpay for a Chris Archer type trade within the division. So that would require maybe not Gleyber Torres, but a Justice Sheffield and a Chance Adams and another top prospect for the Rays to even consider that. That's the type of deal that, like, if you're the Rays, you want to look at you know, maximizing the best deal for Archer. Sometimes the best one is right in your own division. And I think that would be something that the Yankees would absolutely have to consider doing.
Okay, I'm going to throw something out here. Josh Donaldson to the Cardinals. So Josh Donaldson is going to be a free agent after 2018. Toronto is going to want quite a bit back for him. They're looking for a third baseman, a pitcher, and some prospects. So what do you think about Harrison Bader, who is close to major league ready? He had 20 home runs in 2017. Jack Flaherty, a pitcher, and a major league player, Randall Grichuk. What say you, Mr. Duquette?
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. You know, Flaherty obviously is really highly thought of. They've been reluctant to put him in any deal at all because they need depth and starting pitching. So, you know, the Cardinals might, you know, try to throw Luke Weaver in instead. But the makings of like from the Toronto side of things, that would fill a number of different needs. Again, young pitching, a couple of young pitchers. Grichik is still a good major league player. I like him if he makes some adjustments. So that would be, again, working off of that, I think that would be a pretty good little proposal that would have to give consideration to.
Do you think the Blue Jays are motivated to move Josh Donaldson?
I don't think
Donaldson?
They're going to. No, I think they're keeping. I talked to Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro. They think their window's still this year. They're going to give it one more run. If it doesn't work out, they'll trade him at the deadline. But I think they're less likely to move him. There's so many other options out there that I don't think you can get, like what the Orioles are having with Manny. I think they're not getting the asking price that they're looking for. So I think it's more beneficial to hold him.
And let me ask you this. The Cardinals seem to be, and I could be wrong on this, but they seem to be focused on Donaldson with much less interest in Moustakas and Frazier. What's the down? Why wouldn't they go full speed ahead on one of those two guys?
Yeah, I think Moustakas, just because the price tag is high right now.
Okay,
they're backing off of him, but I do think there's going to be an opportunity for him to come back to the pack because there aren't a lot of teams that need a third baseman. So keep an eye on the Cardinals and Moustakas. I think that's a really good fit. I just think with Frazier, if he's going to sign a lesser deal because he's coming off of a down year, it's more likely he would sign right in New York with the Yankees or even the Mets potentially. They could go down that road too. Then a 1 or 2 year deal, with him out in St. Louis. I could see that happening as a fit.
Okay. I have another one for you. Okay, Jim, let's do some business here. Jose Abreu to the Rockies, which I'm in favor of this. So I am offering up Jose Abreu in exchange, who will be a free agent in 2020. So he has 2 more years of relatively reasonable control, in exchange for Ryan McMahon and catcher Dom Nunez.
Yeah, you're on the right track there. Ryan McMahon is the top hitting prospect for the Rockies. Some people think he could help their major league club this year. So to get an impactful guy like Abreu to help you right now and help you win, it's going to cost you McMahon plus. And I think that's certainly fair. I think the White Sox would probably try to tweak it for another pitcher. Maybe they try to grab a guy like Senzatella maybe, who, or one of those starters that wasn't going to necessarily be a part of the rotation, that maybe pitched out of the bullpen, try to expand it a little bit. But I think that one would be a really good one. I was thinking about this. What about Alex Colome in a deal to I hate going back to the same teams, but got a team like the Cubs, who have been looking for, they're looking for a closer. They have either Wade Davis or Colome. Colome would fit perfectly. And you could really, I don't think they would move, obviously, a guy like Schwarber, but maybe an Ian Happ. And that's probably a little heavy, because Happ's going to be a really good one. But there's, maybe it's an Odorizzi and Colome for an Ian Happ and a couple of prospects, a possible C.J. Edwards who could close for Tampa. Something along those lines would make – they've had a ton of conversations, those two organizations. They just haven't been able to match up recently.
So basically a good trade is one where both fan bases think that their front offices are crazy for making it.
Either crazy or they feel equally uncomfortable. Yes, either way. That's usually – when I put these trades together, I look and say, okay, are you uncomfortable? Yes. Is the other side uncomfortable? Yes. Okay, then there we go. It's probably fair.
Okay, Richard, do your get Christian Yelich to the Astros.
Yeah, we want Christian Yelich in Houston, Jim. And we're going to start this. You're going to be Michael Hill. But I got to tell you right off, don't mention Kyle Tucker. Don't mention Forrest Whitley. Is there a package we can work that would not include those two names?
Okay, give me the two names again.
I'm not going to trade Kyle Tucker. I'm not going to trade Forrest Whitley. Those are our top two guys. Yep. But pretty much you can have your run of the rest of the place. And I'll tell you what, we got a left-handed hitting first baseman here named AJ Reed. He is one hell of a player. He might be the guy that replaces Stanton right in the middle of your lineup. Now, just ignore. You got now. Look, you got to make your. You got to don't listen to what everybody says. Don't listen to her laughing. You put that guy in the middle of the lineup. I know he hasn't done that well, but I'm telling you, the guy. He might save that whole franchise.
We, Richard, we have scouts too, and we don't.
I was afraid of that.
AJ Reed. However, I do think that the guys you were used as guys that were untouchable are exactly the type of fit that we feel are perfect value for Christian Yelich, since you would have him under control for the next 5 years at a quality. So Tucker and Whitley for sure, or at least one of those guys, maybe a JB Bukauskas or a Jordan Alvarez, one of those two guys. We'll settle for Tucker because we would rather have the position player than the pitcher. And then, you know, maybe a Martez. There you go.
We would do it. Hold on.
Probably
let me speak
not.
To
you
my
know, the one
top
thing I'm
assistant.
Picking.
Hey. Anyway, we trade him Tucker for Yelich.
Well, and he's the established guy with almost as much control. You have almost as much control over him, and he's the guy that has proven that he is going to be able to play in the big leagues. But Kyle Tucker seems to be like a can't miss guy. I mean, we've heard that a million times, but no, I don't see. I do not. I've discussed this with my minions at the Houston Astros, and we're going to decline this trade respectfully, Jim. But it's a no deal.
All right. Yelich is what Tucker may be. That's right. Why I think that's fair. But if you change your mind, Astros, you got my number. Just or text me. Yes. I'll be on the ski slopes, but I'll answer.
I think that we can pretty much Manny Machado, who has been at the forefront of a lot of trade rumors this entire hot stove, or do we call this kind of medium hot stove season so far? But it sounds like he's just completely off the table. I think that the Orioles are basically saying, look, our owner's not going to approve of anything, so please stop asking. What do you think, Jim?
I checked in on that just recently. And it's all quiet on the Machado front, and it seems like they're just going to pull him off the market. They're not going to listen to any more offers, at least for the time being. They didn't get what they were looking for back in return. They were looking for a high, let's say a number three or number two type starter, like what the Braves got for Jason Hayward a couple years ago. They were looking for like a Shelby Miller type and one other guy, and no one was willing to do that. So they're going to move on and continue with their offseason plan of trying to sign a couple starting pitchers.
Let me just say, Astros back on line two, Jim.
Yes, Astros. Go
if
ahead.
If I had said to you, Kyle Tucker, Michael Hill, is the only guy I will trade you, would you have said yes instantly?
You know, I need a little bit more. Because Tucker is, as much as we like Tucker, we really think that, you know, it's a good chance he could be Yelich, but the likelihood is there's a lot of risk there. To help kind of offset the risk, we need some kind of pitcher back in return. So
I don't like dealing with this guy. He wants my wallet and my keys too. Hey, yeah, I like those deals like Billy Bean and Kevin Towers. Apparently they say they would make trades in 5 minutes. Can't we do one like that? Just say yes,
all
and we got a deal.
We've been talking now for 15 minutes, and I feel like we're close, Richard. I mean, sorry, Jim.
that's a great line. You know, we're right there.
We are right there. If you just say yes to my last proposal, we can consummate the deal right now.
I'm going to turn down my own proposal.
Jim, one last thing, and then we're going to send you on your merry way. Jacoby Ellsbury possibly to the Giants. Do you think that is something that could happen, that Ellsbury would agree to that, and something that the Giants could make happen?
It's funny. I think the Giants could make it happen depending on how much money they want to take back, how much the Yankees want to take back financially. You know, they're trying to stay below the luxury tax. It's a goal. It's a target. I don't think they're held hostage by it, like Bobby Evans, their GM, said recently. But I like it. The only thing I've noticed with Jacoby recently is he's kind of lacked a little bit of a fire, you know. His ability it's kind of gone backwards a little bit. So I'd be careful if I were the Giants on this one. There's some guys out there in the free agent market. I feel like Lorenzo Cain isn't even talked about. I would look at Lorenzo Cain and his cost first before I made some type of deal for Jacoby personally.
Okay. All right, Jim, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
So, Allison, having gone through that exercise, did you enjoy it? Do you have more understanding of it? Does it make you want to be a general manager?
No, and no. Okay, it was somewhat enjoyable because I got to laugh at you. No, I find it very unnerving.
Oh, well, hey, that guy Duquette was trying to pick my pocket. I mean, that's a lack of respect.
Yeah, I like your approach, Richard, and it makes perfect sense why you are a columnist and not a general manager. But I watched the MLB Network and I watched Dan O'Dowd when they throw trade propositions toward him that come from the fans, just people tweeting, and like you can just see him, you know, try not to roll his eyes and try to be, you know, polite while saying that these are the most ridiculous trade propositions I've ever heard. It's such a tough exercise, and you have to know. I mean, that's what I respect so much about the general managers and the guys who used to be GMs who are now in the media, like Jim Duquette and Jim Bowden, that just know every prospect. It just rolls off their tongue, and they know so much about every player, and you really have to. But you have a fan base to answer to also, and I think that's what makes that so unnerving if you're a general manager. And that's what we didn't really get into with Jim, is like you're making these deals, but you also have, you know, the city is paying attention and expecting things from you, and you can't mess it up. And you don't know if you messed it up for a couple of years.
Right, and you have to sell it to your owner too. Yes. I mean, there's lots of moving parts on that. And I think that's why about three times a year you tweet – you will answer someone by tweeting. It's usually something McTaggart is answering a question. And you will tweet, are we getting Trout?
Right. Yes. McTaggart will say, like, you know, send me your inbox questions. And I'll be like, hey, are we going to get Trout? Are we going to get Machado? Because like everyone is like, I mean, as a beat writer, when I covered the Astros, I used to get people who, they shouldn't be expected to understand this. I don't understand all the intricacies, but I would get people like, you know, why can't we get, you know, so-and-so who was like the best player in baseball at the time, and just give him like 13 players, you know, just give him like half your front. Who cares? Just give him 15 players. I'm like, well, you just name 15 players who are never going to ever see the light of day in Major League Baseball. And it's so, you know, the way that the fan base looks at it is like, well, you know, we just want everything that's going to like work out great for our side, but we don't want to give anybody up for them. And like I said, I mean, we talked about it yesterday, I think that there's really only been one time that I have heard a trade proposal that the Astros made that they were close to closing the deal on that made me say, what in the world are you thinking? What are you doing? You should have never been in that position to be able to make that kind of deal. But most of the GMs are very competent, and you know, a lot of thought goes into it, but they don't always work out. And that's a lot of stress on a GM.
Yeah. We're not saying only the fans overvalue their teams, their favorite team's prospects. The teams do the same thing. But, you know, and general managers are cautious. And then there are guys like Billy Bean and Kevin Towers who just go, hey, let's give it a try. I'll give you 5 minutes. You give me something, I'll give you something. We'll call it a day. I love that. But anyway, that's the Morning Lineup podcast for today. Could be the last one before the holidays. Head into the holidays. Wish everyone a happy holiday, happy new year, and however you celebrate. And it's been enjoyable, Allison, and we'll talk soon.
Talk to you in 2018, Richard.